How would you describe this song? What if you had to describe this song to someone who can't hear? Concert venues are required by law to provide sign language interpreters when they're requested. And that interpreting, as you can imagine, is not always easy. It's not just words that have to be translated, but the rhythm and the mood of the music, as well as the energy of the concert itself. Aaron Malgeri has been interpreting concerts like this since 2004. His first gig was Aerosmith, and since then he's worked for Bob Dylan, the Indigo Girls, and more. And he joins us in the studio to talk about his work. And first off, Aaron, how fun is your job?
It's a riot.
Yeah.
It is so much fun to do, and not just the night of, although that's where your energy is through the roof, and that will carry me for days. When you come out of that venue, you're still floating. You know, you've gotten all the energy from the room, from the fans, from the music. Yeah, I absolutely love it.
Well, Aerosmith, that was the first concert.
The very first one, yes.
And how do you translate Dream On? That seems like a tough one.
He gives us some imagery that we can work with. He's got the lines in his face, some wrinkles, some experience there. You have to know what a person means. The words alone are not enough, because it's not as though sign language is English represented on the hands. It's a completely different language. It has its own grammar and structure. And so if you have the meaning, then you can think, okay, now if I were to sign this, how would I express that? It's just a little more fun at a concert.
So the whole energy of the song changes there. How do you convey that and sort of the emotion of rock, really? That's got to be incredibly difficult. How do you do that?
I benefit so much from the energy from the stage. So a lot of times I don't have to think very hard about the energy that I'm getting, what they're conveying, because you can feel that. So that shapes how I sign. You know, just like we have tone of voice in English, you can sign the same thing three different ways, a thousand different ways with different emotion. So whatever I'm getting and feeling from the stage is what I try to incorporate in my interpretation. So he starts out very quiet and thoughtful, and then it all raises up. And so my body language is going to get larger. My signs will get larger. And there's a lot more drama in that part of the song. So by the time I'm signing the chorus, Dream On, you know, my hands are much wider than my shoulders. I've raised it up a little bit. And that sort of energy and emotion is all on my face as well. You know, sign language isn't just the hands. So I may be signing something, but a person's going to read how emphatic I am, for example, based on my facial expression.
You're assuming a lot of the theatrics of the show yourself to be able to convey them when you sign, yes?
Yes, and that's actually a tricky line, because we don't want to steal the show from the stage. So in a venue where Aerosmith is playing, you can't but feel the energy coming off the stage. So even if I'm signing huge, it's still them. They're still the stars. But if it were a smaller, more acoustic club, and I was interpreting for somebody who's singing in sort of on a smaller scale, if I started signing that large, I'd be taking away focus from them.
Did anyone ever say to you, we all can interpret songs differently. Did anyone ever say to you, you got it wrong. That's not what they meant by that particular song. Or did you ever feel as if maybe, as the years went by, maybe you thought a song really meant something differently and you wondered if you should revise the way that maybe you were interpreting?
That's one of the challenges. One of the other songs I had mentioned was Grace Potter and the Nocturnal song, I'm Mary.
Well, let's listen to that. She puts herself just a notch above humankind. I'm Mary. She'll bake you cookies, then she'll burn your town. I'm Mary. Ashes, ashes, but she won't fall down. She's the beat of my heart. She's the shot of a gun.
The challenge with this song was trying to keep the imagery and symbolism that's in the song. But if you look at the song as a whole, it seems on the surface to be talking about a person. But by the end of the song, you see that Ah Mary becomes America. So there's all of these things about how this woman is behaving that you could extrapolate to a much larger scale about, you know, our interaction with other countries around the world.
It's got to be tough.
It's a lot of fun. This is why I love my work.
Well, let's pick another song that you've actually mentioned that we could bring up and you could explain your interpreting. This is Helplessly Hoping by Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Let's listen.
Helplessly hoping, her harlequin hovers nearby and waiting a word.
How did you tackle the alliteration in that song?
There isn't necessarily alliteration in sign, but there are, you know, long-standing, handed-down traditions of poetry. It took a couple of weeks trying to come up with a sign that would express this sort of longing that this character has, but to still show that the way the song is written is in a very poetic structure. It's not just a story. The form is also important.
And speaking of a lot of symbolism and imagery, you've also done Bob Dylan. Now, that's got to be another challenging concert to interpret for the audience.
Right, and actually, one of the fans that night looked at me a little funny, and he said, "Don't you think that the deaf person you're working with is the only one who's going to know what Bob Dylan is saying?"
Once upon a time, you dressed so fine, threw the bumps of dime in your prime. Then you, people call, say, "Beware, doll, you're bound to fall." You thought they were all kidding you.
Would you say that overall what you try to do is give the same kind of musical experience to a deaf concert goer as a non-deaf concert goer, or is that not the objective at all?
There are some people that I work with who can hear the music, but they can't hear the words. And so I don't have to give them much sense of how the music sounds. They've got that part. So I'm sort of filling in what's missing. There are some times when the person wants to know what the English words are in English word order so that they can sing along, which is a different sort of challenge than letting go of the English and thinking about the concepts and how you express that.
So what do you do during the guitar solos or the instrumentals?
Again, it's going to depend on who's there. One of the people that I've worked with most often is such a fan. They already know where that solo is going. And what I'm providing to them is more timing because they are familiar with the song.
So do you sort of dance, or?
I can't help it. I'm dancing anyway. Sometimes you will say, you know, they're doing a guitar solo. Sometimes you might try to express sort of the mood of it, the tension in it. And there's lots of arguments. Some people will say, if you can't hear the music, you cannot create some other visual form of it that's equivalent. And other people will say, well, yeah, but I can still get a sense of the mood and a sense of the emotion. And so that's what we do every day.
Well, thanks very much for speaking with us.
It was great. Thanks for having me.
Aaron Malgeri is a freelance sign language interpreter based in Boston. Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Deborah Becker. Please join us again. Here and Now.